1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we partake in the Lord's table tonight, I do want to just remind us that most of us realize this, and I think probably I would say safely all of us. There may be some young people here that maybe it's not as clear, but the Lord's table is not a sacrament. It's not a means of grace. It doesn't add anything to our salvation. It doesn't do anything to make you cleaner. It doesn't make you anything that pertains to being saved. Okay, it doesn't add anything to what we have in our faith in Christ. And what it is, it's an ordinance that Jesus gave to the church. He gave us two ordinances. One was baptism. Baptism also is not a sacrament. It's symbolic. It is to represent a testimony, a decision to put your faith in the gospel and follow Him in believer's baptism. It's an act of obedience is what it is. And so if you're here today and you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you know you're saved, you've trusted Christ, that'll be your next step. And I hope you'll consider that. But tonight, we do look at the Lord's table, where the Lord gave His church a commandment to do this until He comes. And that's where we come to tonight. If you'll notice in chapter 11, Paul is teaching the church in Corinth about the proper way to partake of the Lord's table because they were abusing it. And I won't go into those details tonight, but I do want to direct your attention there in verse 23, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." And there's our key word, remembrance. It's remembering our Lord's body being broken. And then verse 25, "After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." And tonight, in tonight's message, before we partake together, I want us to focus on verse 26 for a few moments. He goes on to say, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup." Now, you notice those first few words there, "for as often." Some people have said, well, how often is often? Are we supposed to be doing this every day? Every week, every month? Well, you know, I believe that is to be determined by the local church. I believe it's fine to do it every week. I believe it's fine to do it every month. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact of the matter is, it's not crystal clear. But it does tell us for sure that we ought to do this as a habit and to implement and make a priority in the local church. And to take it very seriously. I don't think that we should just kind of tack it on just real quick and just to kind of get through it. But it's a time to truly appreciate and remember our Lord. So it's as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Notice what he says next. "Ye do show the Lord's death till He come." And I want to focus on those last three words of verse 26 in tonight's message. It says, "till He come." The Lord wants us to remember His death by coming together as a local church and taking the bread and the juice and remember Him until He returns. That is what we're going to do. And one of the things it should really encourage us about and motivate us is, praise the Lord, His coming is next on the prophetic calendar. on the prophetic timeline, we believe in the imminent return of Christ. Now, we're not date setters here at Crooked Creek. There's been so many throughout the decades that have set dates and sold books, and they use different formats and avenues and methods of calculating the coming of the Lord. And there are times where Jewish holidays are used to calculate the year that it's probably going to be. And, you know, I don't want to be too critical on those that are really enthusiastic about the Lord's coming, because I feel like we all could be more enthusiastic about it. But we must be careful, because the Lord has made it very clear in the book of Acts that we will not know the time or season when the Lord comes. It will come at a time where we don't expect it. So if you know when it's coming, then obviously you're expecting it and you know the season. So I do think that we have to be balanced. We have to look forward to it, look forward to it as an imminent. It could happen during this service. And that would be wonderful. I mean, for us to be partaking in the Lord's table and the Lord return. Wow. The dead in Christ would rise first, and then which are alive and remain be caught up together in the air to be with the Lord forever. Amen. That would be wonderful. And my point tonight in thinking about the Lord's coming is, I think that as we meditate on the fact that the Lord is going to return, we want to be ready. We want to have pure hearts. We want to be serving the Lord the best we know how. And I believe that the Lord's coming and meditating on that is a motivation to be right for His coming. I want you to notice some verses with me to maybe save some time. I'm going to put the verses up on the screen this evening. You can look them up with me. I certainly encourage you to do that, or you can join me by looking at them on the screen. The first one I'd like to look at is 2 Peter 3:14. Notice Peter writing in the context of looking forward toward the coming of the Lord. Notice what he says: "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things," there's an anticipation there, isn't there? There is a longing to see the coming of the Lord. You know, it almost cares that some of you young people here, you really get excited when maybe grandparents are coming to town. Maybe they're going to be bringing some prizes. Most grandparents do that. They're great at spoiling our kids, and then they leave, and that always works out nicely. But I don't mean to get off subject here, but I've often wondered if we could use all the gifts that Grandma gives and just ask her sometime, "Do you mind if we use some of these on Christmas morning?" But nevertheless, you get it. The kids are anticipating in that way. And, you know, as little children, which 1 John calls us little children, we ought to be every day in some way anticipating the coming of our Lord. It'll help us. And notice what the verse says. It says, "Be diligent." There's a purposeful statement, "that you may be found of Him in" what? All right. So those of you that struggle with anxiety and maybe worrying, remember, the Lord wants to find you at peace, trusting Him. And we all face that in some way. Then it says, "without spot." That means that's carrying the idea of not sinless perfection, but it's talking about there being a blemish in your life that is constant, that you're not seeking to deal with. And then that blameless carries the idea of above reproach. He wants to find us walking above reproach. You see, there's a purifying effect to meditating on the coming of the Lord. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 4:8, "henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness," Paul says, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only," notice this last phrase, "but unto all them also that" what? "Love His appearing." You know, Paul is saying there's going to be a crown of righteousness for the believers that are going to love His appearing. And going back to Peter, what we were talking about, the way we love His appearing is that we anticipate it. We expect it. And we walk by faith daily, knowing that it could be the day that our Lord comes and gets His bride. And it helps us to be faithful. Notice 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. The Apostle John says, "And now, little children, abide in Him." That's that fellowship. He's talking about abiding in Christ. It says, "Abide in Him, that when He shall appear," don't miss this, "we may have" what? "Confidence, and not be" what? "Ashamed before Him at His coming." What is this telling us? It's telling us that when we think upon the coming of our Lord, and as our Lord told us when we remember His death, He said, "Do this till I come." And one of the things that the Lord's Supper does, it reminds us of our Savior's commitment to us, His love for us, and then in return, how we should reciprocate that love. You know, we know that verse in John that says, we love God. Why? That's right. It's an example. I was reminded that of this family revival. I was reminded as a parent, you know, your children will likely reflect the love you are showing unto them. And as we seek to show that unconditional sacrificial love, that will encourage them to love you back, because that's what our Father in heaven has done. The Bible says He loved us first. He initiated, and then in return, we love Him in that way. So notice with me 1 John, the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Let me read these verses. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God," or the children of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," there it is, "when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And notice verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him does" what? "Purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And so tonight, as we get ready to take the Lord's table, let's really just let God direct our hearts and minds to His soon return, whether it be today or tomorrow or years from now. May He find us faithfully looking for Him. One of the ways that we prepare for His coming is that we think upon His death daily. We think upon His death and His burial and His resurrection. You know, and I would say this, frankly, church, there should not be a day that passes in your life that you don't in some way think of Calvary. In some way, every day, your heart should be directed toward the cross. It might be in a form of thanksgiving for what He did for you on the cross. It might be meditating upon the fact that He was buried and on that third day He arose again. Every day, thank God for how you have the forgiveness of sins through His blood that was shed. Thank Him for the agony that He experienced on your behalf. That's a daily practice, because what that will do, that will help you to be more dedicated to the Lord. And in that way, it will help us prepare for His coming. When we are living for ourselves, honestly, we do not give a whole lot of attention to the cross and to our Savior's sacrifice. But thank God we can do that. You know, speaking of being ready for His coming, and as we faithfully serve Him and think upon His amazing love. We want to be ready, don't we? We want to be ready. I don't want to be found mad. I don't want to be found prideful or lustful. I don't want to be found selfish. I don't want to be found greedy. You know, I want to be found loving Him and appreciating Him. And tonight, as we will partake, we're going to ask the Lord to search our hearts so that we can just renew our commitment to Him, a time of revival. We don't know when He's coming, but we want to be ready. A gentleman that was visiting a certain school of elementary school kids, he came in, and as he gave his little speech, he told them that he'd be back and he was going to have a prize. And it was going to be a prize that they would all cherish and love to have. But he said what he was going to do, he was going to give that prize to the young person that had the cleanest desk. Well, boy, the rumbling started then and the talk, and it was quite interesting. And they asked, "Well, sir, when will you return?" He said, "That I cannot tell." He said, "I will come at a designated time that you know not, but when I find that clean desk, I will give a reward." Well, at that time, a little girl who had been noted for her disorderly habits announced that she was going to be the one who was going to win the prize. In fact, when she made that known, a lot of her peers said, "You?" They jeered at her. She says, why your desk is always a mess. It's always disorderly." Well, she said, "Oh, but I mean, I'm going to keep it clean the first of every week." And they laughed about that, but said, "But suppose he should come at the end of the week," someone asked. And then she said, "Then I will clean it every morning. But he may come at the end of the day." And for a moment, the little girl was silent. And she said, "I know what I'll do." She said very decidedly, "I'll just keep it clean." And you know, that's what God wants us to do. He just wants us to keep it clean. Keep our hearts clean, our minds clean every day. Not that we got to wait till a certain day. We can do it right here, right now, and we should. Because as we go forward in the Lord's table, we remember that our Lord's death, and we remember that His soon return. And I want to direct your attention there and back to our passage in 1 Corinthians. Notice with me there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what it says in verse 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians, would you look there with me? It says here, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So what the Lord is telling us here through His Word, He's saying, look, when you take the Lord's table, make sure you're doing it with a pure heart. He's not talking about sinless perfection, but what He's talking about, that you don't have any known sin in your life that is unconfessed and that you're not dealing with and seeking to get victory. He said, don't, if you have a habitual sin in your life and you're saying, "I have no intentions to get rid of it and I have no intentions to overcoming it at this point," then I would refrain from taking the Lord's table, because you are drinking damnation upon yourself, according to the Word of God. So you want to take that very seriously. However, this is a time that verse 28 says, "Let us examine ourselves." Let him examine himself so that you can. God wants you to partake tonight as you remember His death, but do it with a desire to please Him with your life. And notice what verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." The Bible says that we can clearly judge ourselves tonight. And that's what I hope to do here in the next few moments. I'm going to have the the pianist come here and or the organ, if you will, and let's just take a few moments to reflect upon our own hearts before the Lord and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, please point it out. I want to be right with you. Also, if there's another Christian, if there's another Christian that you had ought against or unforgiveness, now's the time to just get that settled and just say, Lord, in your name, I'm going to forgive this person because of what you have forgiven me. And let that all be settled right now. Release it unto the Lord. Let Him have His way. Well, would you pray with me?